In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In just a few days, the people of Canada will be celebrating the 150th anniversary of Confederation, which took place in 1867. We are poised for celebration in the land. Excitement is building. Nearly everyone is wearing the t-shirt. It's going to be a great occasion, from sea to sea to sea. We were chatting with some people from Ottawa we met recently, and a woman remarked, as we were talking a little bit about the upcoming celebration, a woman remarked with typically Canadian understatement, we thought. She said, "I really hope the fireworks work this time." My take on our reputation as Canadians is that in spite of our considerable achievements and our very rich diversity, we still do not take ourselves too seriously, eh? Former broadcaster, CBC broadcaster Peter Zosky, as you may know, whose career began in Moose Jaw, kept a sign in his studio which read, "As Canadian as possible under the circumstances." Remarkably, Canada is a nation which in its constitution and in its Charter of Rights and Freedoms, opens with this statement: "Whereas Canada is founded upon principles that recognize the supremacy of God and the rule of law," then continues, "the Canadian Charters of Rights then guarantees the following rights and freedoms as set out as follows." Founded upon principles that recognize the supremacy of God and the rule of law. In other words, because this is so, because we're founded upon principles of the supremacy of God and the rule of law, then what follows, Charters of Rights and Freedoms, proceeds from those principles. Our national motto, Amari Usqua Ad Mara, is drawn from the phrase in Psalm 72, verse 8, in which the enthronement of the King of Israel is accompanied by the assurance that he, the king, quote, "shall have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." Until the 1980s, we were known as the Dominion of Canada, and July the 1st was called Dominion Day. Now simply we say Canada and Canada Day. Our national anthem, of course, includes the sung petition, "God keep our land glorious and free," a further acknowledgement of the divine in national life. The God whose supremacy we formally recognize in the Charter is the God of the Scriptures, which we share not only among our Christian sisters and brothers globally, but also those Scriptures of the Old Testament which we share with our Jewish neighbors, and those early Old Testament stories of Abram's son Ishmael, with whom our Muslim neighbors connect. Surely it's appropriate then to ponder what it means for us in Canada, especially for people of faith in Canada, to acknowledge this relationship with God as revealed in these scriptures and as worshiped and grounded in our national covenants. This morning we have read and we have heard the Old Testament prophetic voices of both Micah in the key verse on the bulletin and Isaiah from Isaiah 58. We have heard these prophetic voices, lest anyone in any nation say they're unsure of what God expects of faithful people. The teaching of St. Paul in the New Testament acknowledges that we live within a human structure of governance, and that while Christians have no right to punish anyone, the state does and must be respected. This was a very common Jewish view of the time, which St. Paul is echoing, even though at the time of his writing, Nero was emperor in Rome. The gospel lesson today sets out the Beatitudes that Jesus taught as foundational to the growth and spiritual maturity of all who would become his disciples. Again, this teaching is specific toward the attaining of life that is truly happy and fully blessed. The word blessed means literally the happinesses, the happinesses. And this, says Jesus, is how to enjoy and celebrate the happinesses, the blessing of God. In Psalm 33, though, I believe it is that psalm which provides very clear and inviting window of clarity for us to consider our relationship with God, the God we name in Constitution, Charter, National Anthem, and Scripture. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Verse 12 of Psalm 33. Psalm 33 is a hymn of praise, celebrating and proclaiming God as Creator and Lord of history. God is known for God's providential care and foresight in both creation and history. The psalmist sees that protection in both creation and in history. What's more, Psalm 33 is the worshiper's own witness and testimony of the truth of the providence of God. The worshipers are saying, we see it, we acknowledge it, we believe it. God is Lord of both history and creation. Called to worship then, the people of God rejoice with praise that is accompanied by loud shouts and stirring string-like orchestral music. They're responding to the experience of God's presence there and then as they worship, probably in the covenant renewal ceremony, and affirming that what they know of God's supremacy, faithfulness, and steadfast love is what they are stating and believing. We are blessed, they say, to be chosen of God. And so this psalm continues, and what evocative verses and images are these? By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all their host by the breath of his mouth. The stars, by the breath of his mouth, all the heavens were made, and all their host by the breath of his mouth. And further, in verses 8 and 9, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of God, for God spoke, and it came to be. God commanded, and it stood firm. It's quite an image, isn't it? Not a scientific image in terms of the way we think about science today. But it's faith that understands and frames that understanding in language that is wonderfully poetic and majestic. Not saying that that's exactly how it happened, but to say we believe the source of the happening is in God's word and the strength of God's word. And then on to the world of politics, Psalm 33. It's a wonderful psalm. On to the world of, and this is interesting. This is interesting. Let no nation or assembly of nations ever think that they own the place or run the place. The Lord brings the counsel of nations to nothing. The Lord rules over the destinies of nations. So now that's a remarkable statement. And just when you think we all personally were off the hook, comes the fact that we're all being scrutinized by God. You're being watched by God very closely. It's kind of like this, you know, you're being watched very closely. Every one of us. Truly the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love. Where is all this going, we wonder. God is the Lord of creation, history. Nations mustn't think that they own the place or run the place. God is watching us closely. Where is all this going? It's going to the very sure and solid foundation of personal and community-wide trust in this God. Whatever may come in life, we may place our wholehearted trust in our providential God, trust that we do not live our lives in vain, no matter how short, no matter how stressed, no matter how tragic, we do not live our lives in vain. Our well-being, our security in life and beyond death, our destiny depend not upon weapons or armaments or alliances or treaties, not upon wealth or health or power, but our well-being depends upon the faithfulness of God's steadfast love toward us and our abiding trust and hope in that love. We belong to God, and nothing will ever take us away from that belonging. Here and now, we may experience the abiding presence of God, especially in worship, as we are doing right at this moment. We have the opportunity to recognize the providential care of God in creation and in history. We are invited to establish our trust in God's proven faithfulness. In these remarkable ways, we are blessed, blissfully happy, to be a people, a community of those upon whom the divine favor rests. Arthur Weiser, commenting on these verses in Psalm 33, notes as follows: "The people of Israel, whose own destiny was so tragically bound up with the policy of great empires in antiquity, had experienced in their own history the coming and going of these kingdoms and had learned from their own fate this one lesson. There is only one plan that endures forever, and that is God's plan. From this nation emerged the great vision of history, which for the first time in the history of the world grasped and expressed the fact that the divine purpose inherent in everything that happens in the world is the meaning of history as a whole. The divine purpose inherent in everything that happens in history is the meaning of history as a whole. This being so, implies the psalm writer, stay rooted in the blessedness of God, stay firmly in the happinesses of God's steadfast love." What do people in Canada think, people of faith in Canada think, as we move towards the 150th anniversary of Confederation? How shall we speak and live the truth of God's providential favor upon us and indeed upon the whole inhabited earth? How shall we speak that truth? How shall we live that truth? Recently, a few Presbyterians were asked to comment on our national truth and reconciliation endeavor with our First Nations and Indigenous peoples. We were asked the question, why does truth and reconciliation matter to Presbyterians? One reply that stood out for me was this: Canada is not healed until Indigenous peoples are healed. Building up our nation must recognize that the rest of us need to be healed too. We're taking down a wall between us and Indigenous peoples. In justice, there is hope. These days, global watchers are pointing out to us that the consensus that trade and openness with all nations makes the world richer is under threat. The tolerance that lets millions move in search of opportunities is also under threat. And the ideal that people of different hues and faiths can get along is under threat. Earlier this week, the United Nations High Commission on Refugees reported that there are 65 million refugees in our global village, over half of whom are children. The continuing chaos and crisis in the Middle East, especially in these past weeks in the Persian Gulf, among the Persian Gulf states, has been described by a professor at Qatar University as a situation in which, quote, there is confusion everywhere now, in Russia and Europe, in Syria and in the US. We are living in a very interesting moment in the history of the world. As people of faith in Canada, we are not blessed because we are special or because we are privileged or because we are better than any others on the planet. We are blessed in order to be a blessing to the many nations, including our own. We have known this from the time of Abraham. How to deliver that blessing? The truth of God's word, the faithfulness of God's actions, and the assurance that what God promises, God will surely keep, is our mission. Our mission going forward, as we're fond of saying these days. Our mission of connecting the bigger picture of God's eternal plan to the daily hopes and dreams, trials and challenges that this and every succeeding generation confronts. May God sustain us and surprise us in spite of ourselves. Amen.